Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you're welcome this morning. And let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians. Thank God for the epistle of Paul to the church at Colossae. That's where we are going this morning. And the Bible contains several warnings for us, particularly the last day church. And we must pay attention to everything Jesus has told us in the Bible, particularly in these last days. We are living in perilous times, Bible says. These are evil days. And we have to understand how to live victoriously in these last days. The joy of being a Christian is that we have what it takes to walk in victory in the midst of adversity. The joy of being a Christian is that we have a way out of every affliction. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. The truth about Christianity is that we are overcomers of the world. Not that we won't have problems, but we have victory in every one of them. Because Jesus said, when he was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace." You see, that's why we have to listen to what Jesus has said. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace." Because in the world, you are going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Present continuous tense. We are continually overcoming the world. How do we do so? By our faith. That's why the just must live by faith. The just must live by faith. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is bringing us a word in season. Say to your neighbor, a word in season. A word in season. Amen. So a word in season is a word that is very, very applicable to the present situation which we need to apply to our lives in order to walk in God's best for us. God has good things in store for us who are his children. Colossians chapter 1. In fact, put your finger right there, and let's just turn quickly and see this background here. A few pages in your Bible backwards to Ephesians chapter 5. This is why we need a clear understanding of what the Word of God teaches us as God's children. We have to learn from the Word and receive instruction in righteousness from our Father God through the Holy Scriptures. This is the God we all see at all times, because the Word of God and God Himself are one and the same. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Please underline the word light there. When you have light, you will not stumble in darkness. When you have light, darkness cannot overcome you. When you have light, you have what it takes to overcome darkness. But what happens if you don't have light? Then the darkness can take advantage. God does not want the darkness to take advantage of any of us as his children. We are children of light. But we are living in a dark world in order to be the light of the world. Not to be like the darkness of the world, but to give light to the darkness that is in the world. In other words, we have the answer to every problem in this world. And that's why, as Christians, we need to allow the truth to change our perspective and our reasoning and the way we also live and do things. Without the truth, we won't be different from the people of the world. When fear captivates them, we will allow fear to rule us too. But when we know the truth, when fear comes upon the people of the world, we'll be there to give them light. To say, well, there's a way out of your fear. This is the way. And we'll be able to make the difference that God is counting on us to make in this world. You see, if God didn't want the church to make the difference here on earth, he would have taken us away. Because we don't have any business in this world. Come to think of it, Bible tells us that this world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. So this is not our home. And Jesus in John chapter 17 prayed even before you and I were born, while he was here on earth. He said, Father, I do not pray that you should take them away from the world, but keep them from the evil. You see the difference? Why? Because he wants us to remain here in order to be the light. Because if the church goes, the whole world will be in darkness. We are the light of the world. And we need to receive our light from Jesus, not from any human being. Jesus is the true light. Bible says that lights every man that comes into the world. Without Jesus, we have no light. This is not talking about light that is generated by the electric generating company. This is talking about the real light from heaven. That has the wisdom of God, the direction of God, the graces of God, all contained in it. And that is why we can walk in that light and overcome everything that is of darkness in this world. Because the things of darkness are the things of the evil one, the devil. Every work of the devil is a work of darkness. But God is light. And everything God does is of the light. Bible says God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Sickness, disease, oppression, calamity, all those things are works of darkness. And currently, as people live in fear of various kinds of diseases in the world, that's the prince of darkness trying to captivate people with fear. He rules the world by fear. The devil is an intimidator. That's his greatest weapon. That's why the Bible will always tell us, fear not! Because the devil needs fear to rule and to oppress the human race. But God needs faith to help us to walk in victory over the enemy. And that's why we need to wake up as the church and not allow the mentality of the world to rule us. We are the ones that should be showing them the way. Not us trying to be like them or agreeing with them. No, don't agree with the world. Don't agree with their views. Show them the way. Because the ways of God are totally different from the ways of this world. That's why the Bible says we should not be conformed to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So again, it says we need to awake and receive the light of Christ. Now look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He's talking to the church. So it's possible for us as Christians to walk in foolishness. And God doesn't want us to do that because God is a wise God and his children should be wise as he is. Bible says we should be imitators of God as their children. So God is saying to us, we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because. The days are evil. God is telling us as his own people that we are living in evil days. Paul calls it perilous times when he wrote his epistle to Timothy, who was a pastor, so that he could teach his congregation. Now in the last days, perilous times shall come, because the Holy Spirit was declaring that to Paul, speaking to him expressly. And so God has warnings for us as his people and instructions in order to live victoriously in this dark world and in this evil age. So as the people of the world are captivated by the fear and the evil and all the works of darkness, we shall arise and shine and give them light. And I tell you, it is time to do the greatest work of evangelism that this world has ever known. Because Bible teaches us that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. That's why as Christians we need to be awake. The greatest opportunity for evangelism is when there is problem in the world, because everybody is looking for solution. And you know what? They can't get the solution in this world, because the devil, who is the god of the world, has designed the problem so that they don't have a solution for it. So the only people who have the solution are you and I, Christians. Don't underestimate the devil. He's very cunning, very crafty. When he brings a problem, he makes the problem to be such that you won't find a way to solve it, except God helps you. We've all been through situations in our lives where you just sit down all day long, you rack your brain trying to figure out, how do I get out of this mess? And the more you try to figure out, the less you find a way. And then at the end of the day, you'll be more frustrated, because you just don't know what to do. Where do I begin from? That's the way the devil works. He will never bring a problem your way that you can easily solve, because it's a wicked spirit. He doesn't want you to experience the joy of victory in any area of life. That's why we have to know where our help is coming from. Say to your neighbor, you have to know where your help is coming from. Your help is not coming from this world, but from God, your Father in heaven. Amen. So again, we have to receive the wisdom of God in order to walk in these days, because the days are evil. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I tell you, God has given us something marvelous to overcome every problem of this world. And we have to learn to use it with faith and understanding. Colossians chapter 1. For the sake of time, I'll pick it from verse 12. Please, when you get home, read it in context from the beginning. Giving thanks unto the Father, or just for the sake of a bit of clear context, let me pick it from verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we had it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's pause there for a moment. And please pay attention to this verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. Made us meet. Made us meet. The Father himself made us meet. God the Father himself, not any man. God the Father himself made us meet to be partakers. In other words, God the Father himself determined and qualified us, made us to be truly qualified and set apart to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, not in darkness. Our inheritance is light. Say to your neighbor, your inheritance as a Christian is light, not darkness. So, part of the light that is in your, that is your inheritance as a Christian, is health, no sickness. Faith, no fear. Prosperity, not poverty. Peace, not turbulence. Joy, not sorrow. You begin to see the contrast? Joy is light because it is of God, the Spirit of God. Faith is light, it is of God. But fear is darkness, it's of the devil. Sorrow is darkness, it's of the devil. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of the devil, there is great sorrow. When the devil goes somewhere, it causes so much problem, and you find people weeping and wailing, and some people rolling on the ground and crying. That's sorrow. You don't need a prophet to tell you that the devil has been around. It is either he has killed somebody there or just done some great damage that is making the people to wail. So we have to know the difference. We are people of light. Thank God for light. So God has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So your portion is light as a Christian. Let's put it that way. Your portion of inheritance is light. Now look at verse 13. This is very sweet. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Please underline that in your Bible. God has delivered you from the power of darkness. He's not just trying to deliver you. You're already delivered. So when people begin to come to you in the world spreading fearful news, just know that's not your portion. You're already delivered from that. So when they come to you and say, there's a new plague in town. It's wiping off the whole country. People are dying right, left, and center. You better don't buy their fear. Don't buy it. Just say, no, that's not my portion. That's not my inheritance. I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I'm already delivered from the power of darkness. So the devil who is killing people all over the place has no authority over me. Even if everybody dies, I'm the only one remaining. I'll be the only one remaining because I cannot die. The devil has no power to kill me. And you know what? Just by you believing that and speaking it, you've put up a shield against the devil. And truly, he won't be able to kill you. He may kill everybody else and even kill some Christians who are ignorant. Because these things are not automatic. Don't say, oh, because I'm a Christian, the devil won't kill me. Well, before you know, he would have killed you. And you'd have gone to heaven before your time, and the Father will show you shouldn't have come home now. But you came because of ignorance. I still had plans for you. You should have remained here to finish the work. You didn't finish the work I sent you. But anyway, come home. Because the Bible says some of us will just make it by the skin of our tooth. God have mercy on some of us. Thank God for the blood of Jesus carrying us to heaven. But I don't just want to make it to heaven by the skin of my tooth. I want to enter into heaven. I haven't finished my work like Apostle Paul. I want to finish my work. I don't want to go without finishing my work. So no devil will kill me before my time. And that should be for every one of us. Because God is no respecter of persons. We just need to walk by faith, that's all. The devil has no power to kill you, so don't be afraid of him. But if you are afraid, there's nothing God can do. You need faith to stop the devil in his tracks. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, we should take up the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked one, including plague and new diseases. We don't need to name them now. Because even the name we all know about now is child's play compared to what is still to come. Jesus himself said so. You need to go home and study Luke chapter 21. He said the heart of men will fail them, even for mere looking at what is coming upon the earth. Just by envisaging the evil coming, people will have heart attack. That's what Jesus himself said. But he said in the midst of it, you and I as Christians, we should look up, raise up our heads, because our redemption is nearer. And we should watch and pray always. So Jesus has left us instructions how to live in this life. If any of us fall short as Christians, it is our fault because of ignorance. No news of plague or disease should make you change your habit and begin to live in fear instead of faith. In fact, it's time for you to say, praise God. It's opportunity to witness for Christ. It's opportunity to make the light of Christ to be seen by everybody, because they need solution now. They don't know what to do. They are all living in fear. Some of them are even using their credit card to go and buy things to make them healthy. And still they still catch the disease. Because there is no solution in the world. The devil has designed it for them not to know what to do, to be confused, and then change their lifestyle and live in all kinds of bondage. You see, fear as bondage. Bible says fear as torment. But thank God, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. But to walk in that, we need to have a clear understanding of the word of God and know how to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because exceeding great and precious promises have already been given us. So say to your neighbor, you're already delivered from the power of darkness. So the devil, who is the prince of darkness, has no authority over you. Amen. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So God, the Father himself, delivered you from the authority of the devil and put you under the authority of his son. The kingdom of God's dear son is the kingdom of light. You are a citizen of the kingdom of light. You have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and the power of darkness. You belong in the kingdom of light, under the authority of Jesus Christ. And where we are going this morning is to see how that happened, and to take advantage of the means by which that happened every day of our lives. See, that's the key. And what I want every one of us to understand clearly this morning is that as Christians, God does not expect us to fold our hands and just assume, just because I'm a Christian, no evil will befall me. Well, if you assume that, evil will still overtake you as a Christian. What God wants you to understand is that as a Christian, you have what it takes to overcome the evil. So use it. Say to your neighbor, you need to use what God has given you in order to overcome evil. So what happens to me if I don't use what God has given me to overcome evil? Then evil will overcome me. And that's where we run into problem as Christians, because of our ignorance. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm already saved by grace. No evil will come my way because I belong to Christ. Well, the devil doesn't care whether you belong to Christ or not. He visits everybody. He has no respect for anybody. Remember, he visited Jesus himself in the wilderness. He knew who Jesus was. He went to try him out to see whether he could get one over. And he will visit every one of us to see if we could get one over us. He has no respect for persons. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus had the shield of faith to stop the devil by saying, it is written, it is written. And then the Bible says the devil left him for a season. So the devil couldn't succeed in the plan. And when the devil visits you and you put up the shield of faith, he will leave you too. when it tries to bring the plague near you, and you open, you put up the shield of faith, it will carry its plague and look for somebody else to go and put it on. Just telling devil, you are the wrong address. This is not my portion of inheritance. I resist you in Jesus' name. And he will say, all right then. Then he will run away from you as in terror. Because the Bible says when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But if you don't resist him, then he's going to stay there. Because that means you are welcoming him. So don't assume that because I'm a Christian, no evil will befall me. You have to use what God has given you to overcome evil in order to walk in victory over the evil. That's where we are going this morning. Now look at verse 14. That's where we are going. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. In other words, through the blood of Jesus. I tell you, in this past few days, people have been looking for all kinds of things to overcome the plague that we all have heard about. You visit some supermarkets, people have bought things that they think will help them to overcome the plague. You find sometimes some of the supermarkets, certain shelves are empty. Because people are looking for something to preserve them from the plague. But those things can help them, you see. But God has given us the thing that can help us. It is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. In whom we have the redemption. Through his blood. Through his blood. The blood purchased our redemption. Redemption means we were in bondage. A price was paid for our liberty from that bondage. Adam put us in bondage when he sinned. And the curse came because of the sin of Adam. And the devil who caused Adam to sin ruled over man because the nature of the devil corrupted man in the garden. Bible says the devil is the one who has been sinning from the beginning. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if you are in Christ, you have the advantage. But you need to use it. And what God has given us to use to overcome the devil and all his evil works, one of the key things here is the blood of Jesus, because that is what purchased our redemption. What brought us freedom, what brought us freedom and bought us from bondage is the same thing that we use to stay in that freedom and stay free from the bondage. See the key? So what happens if we take the same price of redemption and we throw it away? How are you going to enjoy the benefits of the redemption? Because you've thrown away the key that will always unlock the benefits of redemption while you are in this world. Thank God when we get to heaven, there is no devil to bind, there is no devil to overcome, no sickness in heaven, no problem, no plague. But while we are in this world, God has given us the key to overcome at all times. So how then do we use this key? That's where we're going this morning before we conclude. So we have to know how to use what God has given us. But you see, the first thing is to know that it is through the blood of Jesus that we have the redemption. So when they begin to say, plague, plague, plague is coming. Oh, plague is around. It's catching everybody. Everybody is getting it now. Just say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Plague is not my portion of inheritance, so I reject it in Jesus' name, and it will not come near my house. And immediately the devil says, all right then, I can't go near that one. Because I see he has put up the barrier. Let me go and look for somewhere, someone else. But if you don't put up the barrier, the thief will break into your house. The thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you want to stop the thief from doing what he has come to do in your life, you need to take advantage of the life that Jesus has brought. And you know that that life that Jesus brought, because if you read in John chapter 10, verse 10, and you read the next verse, verse 11, Jesus said that the life he brought is the one that he is giving for you and I as his sheep. How did he give us that life? Through his blood. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So how did Jesus give us life to overcome what the devil has come to do? His blood. You see again how everything ties together? I tell you, the Bible is a complete book. You just need to understand it and put everything together as a unit. Jesus himself said he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And in Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life he brought for us is when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. In fact, while you're in Colossians chapter 1, just look at this verse when you get home. I'm just trying to put everything together in a skeletal form. When you get home, study it some more. Look at verse 20, Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Now look at the expression, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross, literally the blood is shed for us on the cross. The blood is shed on the cross. Why? Because while he was on the cross, it became a curse for us so that we may be delivered from the curse of the law. Galatians 3 verse 13, Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So when he was on the tree, he became a curse for us. He shed his blood to redeem us from the curse so that we can be partakers of the blessings. But in verse 14 of Galatians chapter 3, the way to possess the blessing is through faith. So what happens for a Christian that is not walking by faith? Well, he can't possess what belongs to him. So that Christian is starving himself in the midst of plenty because he lacks what is required to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. Praise God forevermore. So you and I have the redemption through the blood of Christ. Please get your pen and paper. Just write this down so we can, for the sake of time, so you can go home and meditate on these things in greater depth. I'll give you some scriptures to explain what things are there, and then you get home and study them in detail. The first statement I want you to write down is this. The blood of Jesus, if you like, you can just say the blood of the cross of Jesus, like we just read now in Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, has already redeemed me. Personalize it so that when you are studying your notes, you make it personal. Don't just read it as something in the Bible. You see, you have to take the word of God and see the word of God as God speaking to you personally, because you have to live by the word. Bible says that's how to live by faith. So the blood of Jesus has already redeemed me. In front of that, again, write Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It is done already. Next, please write this down. But I need to say so. I need to say so. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that in a short while, because that's what Bible says. But in front of that, please write the scriptures, Psalm 107. Verse 2 and Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. In Psalm 107 verse 2, that's exactly what Bible says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They have to say so. Bible didn't say let the redeemed of the Lord just believe that they are redeemed. That's where many of us make the mistake as Christians. Oh, I believe that because I'm a Christian, no evil will befall me. And yet the evil will come. The devils believe too. James says, you say you believe there is one God. What have you done? James says you have not done anything. Even the devil believe the same thing. And they tremble. So what next then do I have to do? Faith without works is dead. You see, where you can beat the devil is in the doing of the word. Because the devil is the spirit of disobedience. He believes exactly what you believe. But he's not going to do the word of God. So when you do the word of God, you've already overcome him. See the key? Faith without works is dead being alone. So, Bible didn't say, well, let the redeemed of the Lord believe that they are the redeemed of the Lord. It says, let them say so. Because what you believe has to be the expression that is coming out of your mouth. Don't join them and say, this sickness is killing everybody. Oh, I have to try to make sure. I have to try. Emphasis, try. I have to try to make sure it doesn't affect me. Well, if you are trying, you are not going to succeed. God never says, try. No, God says, do it. Be bold. Say to your neighbor, be bold. Faith is bold. Hallelujah. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Imagine what will happen if the church stands up today and says to government, government, there is solution to the plague. The solution is Jesus. You never get it sorted out any other way, but only through Jesus. I tell you, God will back you up from heaven. And they will come and say, are you sure? Okay, let's give it a yeah! You call on the name of Jesus and the plague will stay. And honor Jesus in the land. Don't just call on him to get out of trouble and forget about him. Decide to give him the number one place in the community and the plague will never return. And God will back us up from heaven. Well, you know, the problem is many of us as Christians, we've even forgotten who we are. Instead of mounting up with wings as eagles, we are flying about like pigeons. It's time to wake up, you see. Glory be to God. And of course, Revelation 12:11 tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. They spoke words of faith out of their mouth in line with what the blood has done for them. Finally, please write this down, then I'll give you some other scriptures to study. The saying aspects of our faith is the means by which our faith is released to possess our redemption benefits. The saying aspect. You see, faith has two aspects. Bible says the believing with the heart and the saying with the mouth. The believing with the heart is the aspect that puts you on the side of God. And then the saying out of your mouth is the aspect that releases the power of God through faith to make what God has promised you to become your experience in your own life personally. That's why the Bible says you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some other Christians may choose to live in fear, but you can choose to live by faith. You better make the right choice. There is a choice involved in these things. In front of that, please write the scriptures, Romans 10 verse 10. And that's exactly what the Bible says there. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when we believe with the heart, we are in agreement with God, the righteous God. But then when we speak with the mouth, words of faith according as we believe, and we speak in agreement with that, then our speaking will release the power of God to make us experience the promise of God in our lives. Because the angels of God walk with our speaking, you see. They have been sent to minister for us. As heirs of salvation. Psalm 103 verse 20, you can add that to the scripture there. The angels of God that excel in strength. They hearken to the voice of the word of God to carry out his command. They are God's messengers that are assigned to you to serve you as an heir of salvation. And they need to hear you speak words of faith to help you. If you keep quiet, they can't help you. Say to your neighbor, angels don't hear silent prayer. Only God hears silent prayer. Angels only hear the word of God that you speak out. Amen. Someone will say, well, I only pray silent prayer. Well, if that's only the prayer you pray, you can't get help from angels. You get help from God because you can hear silent prayer. But how about when you are in a tight situation and you just want the angels that God has assigned to you to help you out of that tight situation? They can't help you. You have to keep crying to God all the time. Initially, when you're a baby Christian, God will be merciful and command the angel to serve you. But after some time, we say, well, you need to mature now. You need to begin to command the angels to serve you by speaking words of faith. I've already given them charge to help you, but you play your part and walk by faith. So when you say, for instance, I will not die, I will live to declare the works of God, immediately the angels save you out of death. Because they know it is so written. And everybody else may die in that situation, but you will be alive. The angel will save you. Because he spoke. And they heard it. And they know the word of God. And they have been sent to hearken to the voice of the word and carry out the command of God for God's own people. They will even substitute others in exchange for your life at that point in time. And then, in addition, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, Bible says, we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Finally, please write these scriptures and study them when you get home. Exodus, that's in addition to Colossians that we've read this morning. Colossians from verse 12 to 14 that we've read. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 23. We all know what is there when God told them to prepare the Passover the night before God was going to deliver them from bondage in Egypt, the children of Israel. God said they should take the blood of the lamb without blemish, a lamb for a house, and then mark the doorpost of their houses and their lintels with the blood, using hyssop plant. And God said he will pass through the land of Egypt that night. And everywhere he sees the blood, he will pass over those houses where the blood is applied. And he, God himself, Jehovah, will not allow the destroyer to touch anyone in those houses where the blood is. Oh, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you declare the blood, it will pass over. Imagine what would happen if they refused to slaughter the lamb then. Well, the plague would have wiped them off too. They had to obey God. So what happens if we don't apply the blood? Well, the plague can wipe us off too. God is no respecter of persons. So God has given you what to use. So you use it. Even the people of the world, in their limited knowledge, they are wise. That's why all of them are buying things to try to... to try to stay alive. But you and I that have the real thing, we are not using it because they know they have to use something. They can't just fold their hands. But we fold our hands. You see, that's why Bible says the children of this world, they are wiser than the children of light. Because they are smart. Only that their knowledge is limited. So say to your neighbor, use what God has given you. Don't be idle. Amen. Also write this scripture, Isaiah chapter 31 verse 5, and tie that in with Exodus chapter 12 verse 13. Because God, in saying that it will pass over, Isaiah explains what that means. It means that as birds flying over in order to brood over. That's how God will pass over the land. And in passing over the land, it is to preserve. In other words, in passing over is not just God showing off. God is passing over in order to cover you and preserve you from the devil and his evil plans, so that the devil doesn't prosper against you. The plague will not touch you. No calamity will befall you and your house. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You don't belong in those territories. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you for the blood. The blood. The blood. The blood that was shed for us on Calvary's cross. The blood of your cross. The blood that purchased our redemption. The blood that has made us free from the power of darkness. The blood that is available for us every day throughout all eternity. The blood that speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. Oh, we thank you for the privilege to overcome the devil and all his evil works by your blood, Jesus Christ, and by the word of our testimony. We plead the blood of Jesus over every member of this church, every family, every household in this church, and all our fellow brethren everywhere in all the face of the earth. For we are one family in you. Oh, we release our faith in the blood of Jesus to protect every righteous person and keep everyone from all manner of evil. For we are the blood-bought church. And Satan, you have no part in the lot of the righteous. As it is written, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Therefore we declare that the blood of Jesus Christ is against you, Satan, concerning everyone in this church and our fellow brethren everywhere. We draw the bloodline against you. Your plague has no place in our lives. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Darkness has no place in any life in this church and in the body of Christ. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, our redeemer. We bless your name that is above all names. At your name, every knee bows of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confesses that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you that your name, Lord Jesus, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. We proclaim the authority of your name as we release our faith in the blood that you shed for us on the cross of Calvary to protect everyone in this assembly. And our fellow brethren everywhere, from every kind of evil that is known in this world, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lift your hands to God and begin to thank him. Begin to thank him and declare you are the redeemed of the Lord. You say so. You say that's how to do it every day you wake up in the morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 107 verse 2, whom he hath redeemed. You see, again, past tense. You already redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So don't be afraid of what the people of the world are afraid of. But apply the blood. Take advantage of what belongs to you and say so. And let the angels of God serve you for that day. They know how to keep you from the enemy's plans. Don't keep quiet as a Christian. No, 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 no. Christians are people of faith. And faith, Bible says, is in our heart and in our mouth. Romans chapter 10 verse 6. That is the word of faith. The word is nigh thee, in thine heart and in thy mouth. Don't just say, I believe. You have to say it also. Say what you believe. Oh, I believe the blood overcomes the devil. They say so. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, Jesus said. He didn't say keep quiet. You say to that mountain. You say to that mountain, in the name of Jesus, be the prophet over your life. As God said to Ezekiel, you, son of man, speak to that dry bone. In other words, you have a duty to take the word of God in your mouth, Ezekiel, and speak it and say to the dry bone, hear ye the word of the Lord. You wake up every morning and cover your house with the blood of Jesus. As you go to work, plead the blood of Jesus over yourself before you step out of that house. So as I step out of this house, I'm covered all over with the blood of Jesus. The glory of God is upon me. As you enter into your office, plead the blood of Jesus over the office. Lay your hand upon your desk. Lay your hand upon every tool that you use for your business that day and plead the blood of Jesus. If the devil planned to mess you up that day, he has already failed because the blood is against him. He can't succeed. If the devil planned to put you in trouble at your workplace that day, the plan will fail because you put the blood of Jesus against him. If the devil planned to afflict you with sickness that day, his plan has failed because you put the blood against him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So take advantage of what God has given you, the blood, and use it. Now lift your hands to God and thank him. Thank him. Thank him for the blood. Thank him for the blood and the word of your testimony. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for passing over us all and covering us with your glory. Thank you, Lord, for this season, that it is a season to glorify you. As you make the whole world to see that your church are a people that are peculiar indeed. That they will not even see one member of your body afflicted with what is causing them confusion in the world. So that they can come to your church and say, we've noticed that you people, you are not affected by what is affecting us all. What is the secret? What are you doing that is keeping you from being affected? Then we'll be able to tell them, it is not of our doing. It is because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of redemption. The blood of the cross. The blood that defeats the devil that is causing chaos all over the place. That is the solution. You want him to help you? You have to honor him. You want him to help you? You have to obey him. And call on his name. And he will help you. Then I tell you, the greatest move of Christ, the greatest evangelical move, will be seen in the world in these last days. Because as darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, Bible already tells us we will arise and shine because our light has come. And the glory of God is risen upon us. Thank God we are a different people. We are in the world, we are not of the world. And let us begin to make the difference. Let us begin to make the difference. May God help us all, day by day, until Christ comes, in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. For God is your keeper. He is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your souls. He shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth. And even forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.